And another artist called Barbro, who is playing later today at the festival. And Jan Strecker, he made an interview with these two artists who have collaborated in different ways and on different songs.
Yes, they've released three songs, an EP, which is out now. And and as you said, Barbro will play tonight at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock at the Avalon stage. So that's in a few hours. We can also get to see that later on. And as a little introduction to that, or as a little warm up to that concert, maybe we will play this interview that was made a few days ago with Mia Milovic and Barbro. And it comes here.
All right. I'm here. This is Wednesday. And I'm here in a caravan with Mia Milovic and Barbro. And I wanted to ask you, how do you both feel?
Like the feeling I carry today is an excitement to go out and listen to a lot of music when the festival opens in an hour or something like that. But it's also like a mixed feeling within me, because being from Jutland and going here like in 10 years ago when I was in high school, it was quite a different experience with a lot of like alcohol and I couldn't go home. And so, but now I think I found a way to be here with the music in focus and also like taking care of myself.
And you, Barbro, do you have any experience with being just a festival guest at Roskilde? You're playing this Saturday, but have you been here before as a festival guest?
Yes, but that's many years ago. I remember 6 years ago, I was here for 2 days and I went home and I told myself I was never coming back. But it's a really, really nice festival. And I was here for the first time again 2 years ago when I was playing in the warm-up days. And I just totally forgot what this festival also is about, which is really like a collective feeling and people coming together. When I try to explain the festival to my Dutch family, because I'm Dutch, I really emphasize this fact that it's a non-profit festival and they're really into like environmental sustainability, even though it's a really messy festival, but they're really doing their best to emphasize diversity and stability and sustainability. And I think that's really nice. And I it's also actually, as a musician or as an artist, it's a festival that when you say you're going to play at Roskilde, it's something people understand, because it's a very culturally significant thing in Denmark. So when you tell your, I don't know, your bank or your family or old friends that you're playing at Roskilde, they know what it means, because it's a huge thing in Denmark. And I'm also really honored and feel very happy to be able to play here, because it's just a really magical place. And of course it has really a backside to everything, but it's for me it's really one of the best festivals in Denmark and probably in the north. Because it's just, they're just very aware of a lot of things, and their diversity in the booking is really nice. And yeah, it's just a very special feeling to be here.
Thank you. I mean, you write and produce music together, but you play here in the festival separately. Mia, you played last night, and Barbro, you're going to play Saturday. But I'm going to ask you, Mia, how was it last night? I heard from second-hand sources that it was like a warm concert, in the sense that it was very lovingly and inclusive and relatively calm. How did you feel?
I felt absolutely amazing. It was warm, I guess. Maybe you should also ask Barbro, because they were there. But for me on the stage, like being with the band in that situation and Roskilde, that's also what Roskilde gives a lot. If you give a little as a musician, then you get like a thousand falls back. And after I was like, oh, I could have given them more and they would have, but it was amazing playing here. And it's like the fifth time I play here, like not with my solo project, it's the first time, but I always had this amazing feeling. And it's like you also explained, Barbro, that is like a very particular thing for the festival. I never actually experienced that kind of sensation elsewhere playing.
What's the sensation?
is I was almost about like to cry 5 or 6 times during the show because I felt so overwhelmed by like my own feelings and being there with the audience, with the band. I don't know how to describe it. It's maybe the orange feeling.
I'm going to turn to something that concerns you both. You have a couple of songs out as a duo, Wall of Mine and Forgetful, and maybe more on the way, I don't know. But you want to tell us maybe the short version of how you came to work together and where you know each other from?
It's a fun story, maybe. We've been looking at each other for maybe 5 or 6 years at different venues and, I don't know, protests and installations or whatever. And there was this particular festival where I was waiting for my band and Mia was sound checking with her old band. And I was just looking at them being really amazed. And I think I finally got the courage to walk up and ask about the Octa track or something. And and then I think we just crossed paths a few times. And then I saw Mia play 2 years ago in Sydhavn at one of my favorite places in Copenhagen. And I don't remember if it was you or me actually who wrote afterwards, like, hey, should we sing together? And we did. And actually the first time we were meeting, I was waiting and I was kind of nervous because it can be difficult to meet with people when you haven't made music together before. And like, where are you? And ooh, it's kind of, it's like kind of dating, but where you have to make something out of it. And then Mia texted me, hey, my daughter is sick, I can't make it. And I was a little bit relieved, but also like, oh, that's too bad. And then she texted me again, I think 10 minutes later, like, I lied, actually. I was really nervous. And that for me was like the perfect way to get into this collaboration of like being really honest, but also feeling or like talking about stuff. And I think actually when Mia came, we just started playing and listening to music. We made a playlist together, and then the first song called Forgetful just came to place in that 2 hours or something. It was really fast working, and every time we rehearse for shows together, we've been playing a few shows, we always end up making new songs because it's just a really like intuitive and very easy. And I've had the experience, excuse me if I'm talking too long about this, but that we really are big fans of each other. So every time the other one does something, we're like, that's a perfect idea. And then we always take over each other's roles because we're like, oh, I'm actually jealous of that, I'm going to do that. And then the other way around as well. So a lot of the songs are actually us trying to mimic each other, I think, and just trying to guess what the other one would do, which is a really fun way to make music.
I thought it would make sense to listen to Wall of Mine, and maybe I could have you introduce the song.
Wall of Mine is a song which we wrote, I think, after Forgetful, but we didn't finish it. So we wrote the music and had some lyrics going on, but it wasn't like really there, settled. And then we met up one day and we were talking about what's going on in Gaza and like the situation, the awful situation there, and about our friends, a lot of our friends who kind of, yeah, break down because of going against the wall every day. Nothing is happening. And then the lyrics kind of made their way right into the song. So it's a song about, yeah, going on the streets and protesting and like holding each other's hands against this, yeah, awful situation.
And also all revenue of the song from Bandcamp and from streaming and also our past concerts goes to pro-Palestine protests, especially in Denmark. Stop Annektering, who's really been like fiercely making so many initiatives and protests around Denmark for so long now. So all donations to the song, if you buy it on Bandcamp, then it goes to them. Yeah.
the show. Forgive me for looking in. I wanted to see how much it has changed, but it's still silver cold on the walls. Patched thoughts and painted nails that wear me down.
Barbara, I'm going to turn to you because you're playing Saturday at the stage Avalon, which is just behind us where we sit right now. And this is not your first time playing at Roskilde Festival either. How do you feel about this upcoming concert?
I am so excited and so happy and comfortable, more than I've been in a long time. Last time I played here, I was really busy denying a concussion that I'd fallen on a bike 2 days before, and was really in strong denial. But I had a really shitty time and felt really shitty, and I still can't look at photos and recordings from that particular concert, because yeah, it's a really weird feeling to play for so many people and I can't remember anything. So I'm really, really happy to get this opportunity to do it again. And I'm bringing an amazing band. And yeah, it's just actually, I'm feeling really good about it. I'm really nervous in a very nice way. And my family's coming. And yeah, I'm really excited to share what I've been doing. And we'll be listening to some new songs also. And yeah, I'm really, really excited. Yeah,
you had a record that came out, Bad Choices, came out almost 2 years ago. The concert you are playing Saturday, is it mostly material from that record, or is it new songs as well?
It's a mixture of a lot of stuff. We're going to play a lot of the Bad Choices material because I love that record so much, and in particularly also the song Bad Choices, which is about, well, trying to or having a feeling of being forced to fix bad choices from yourself, of being like in a constant state of like trying to just like cope with stuff you did in the past. But it's also about choices that you haven't made that have been made for you by the system, by people in power, by your teachers, by your family, and just living with other people's choices, both like politically and well, socially. So it's a very important song to me, and I think a lot of what that song and that album captures is going to be the vibe at the concert, and trying to like find a place to stand in all this chaos that we're seeing right now, and hopefully provide a place of comfort for people listening. And yeah.
All right, I think we will conclude this interview. Thank you so much for taking taking part. I hope that the listeners out there will check out both the songs you've written together, but also separately. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you.
Here we are back at the Container Studio. You're listening to The Lake Radio live from Roskilde Festival. What you just heard was an interview with artists Mia Milovic and Barbro. And once again, big recommendation, Barbro will play at Avalon today at 5 o'clock. Now upcoming is a track from Mabe Frate, who played yesterday 12 o'clock at Platform. And a lot of our editorial staff from Lake were there, and they loved it. It was interrupted by a quite intense rainstorm, so here we bring you some Mabe Frate, Rain Free. This was Mabe Frati, who played yesterday, 12 o'clock at Platform.
Exactly. Frederik, when we came today to the festival, it was quite a wet experience. We came down from Roskilde, walked all the way in a big pile of rain, and we met a lot of people on the way walking towards Roskilde, who I think was kind of escaping the festival. You could definitely see a lot of people who've gotten a little bit enough, but it's lovely to look out the window from our container now to see that it's warm and it's a little bit sunny, and a lot of people have come out of their tents and are walking around to concerts or to get a little coffee or whatever they're walking around doing.
Feels like the rain could never return.
Exactly. And I think we should stick to that belief.
So our next segment is an interview done by our reporter, Mei Bao. And the interview is with choreographer Kai Merke, who was a part of choreographing a performance that was done on Monday, the 1st of July, at Flocker. It was a collaboration between Kai Merke, Faun Vium, Luca Holmegaard, and Mia Milovic, who we also just heard from in the interview. The performance was titled Havet i Munden, and which is a title that's a reference to a collection of poems written by Luca Holmegaard. And as I said, Mei Bao met up with Kai Merke, who choreographed it, and I think we should hear how that went.
Let's speak in English.
Yes.
For our international audience. Oh my god.
Wir machen das auf Deutsch.
Ah, gut, okay. Genau.
I go for print notes.
Yeah, I know. I'll clean the mic for you. Here we go.
Thank you. Yeah, we're sitting in this corner of Altes Camp there, where we just put up a tent at Roskilde Festival. My name is Kai Merke, and I'm a choreographer and a dancer. Today I showed a new piece. It had a premiere, and the piece is called Havet i Munden, and in English it's translated to The Sea in the Mouth. And it's a musical performance choreographed by me, and then it's based on the poem collection by Luca Holmegaard, and it carries the same name. And then the music is made by Mia Milovic, and then performed also by Mia and Faun Vium, who's a fine artist. It has been a very short process of making this piece, so I haven't had the chance to talk about the piece yet. So this is going to be the first time, right after the premiere. The piece is about transformation, and for me, transformation is something that everything is undergoing at all time. There's nothing stable in this world, and it's all in constant movement. And sometimes we forget that it is in a movement, or that we are changing constantly. And so it's not only just about being trans, where that is maybe the go-to assumption about art that is made by trans people, but it's also just relating to transformation in general that everyone undergoes when they are pregnant, or when they get old, or when they are going through teenage years, or when they grieve, mourn someone being dead, or when they get through all these different stages in life, kind of transformation. And I love this relation to transformation that trans people have in different ways close to their bodies, because they get the chance to really research very intimately this state of transformation, because a lot of people are very visible in that state where it seems like they're going to somewhere, an end point, but it's actually not, just we're all constantly moving. So is this feeling of being alone in your room and dance really widely without anyone looking, and this euphoria that comes from just feeling your body from the inside. It's this feeling of being part of a band, a girl or boy band or whatever band, in front of the mirror, and just like being on a big stage with a huge audience that just loves whatever you do. That is like the beginning. I used a lot of references from Disney's Child and NSYNC and Britney Spears and or like these idols that I had when I was a kid. So there's definitely some nostalgia. They are doing dance choreographies from small parts of these music videos. The show is made up by different scenes that I built up as different music video parts, performed very choreographed scenes, and then in between there's these like building new scenes, so you see the backstage modes of making a music video work. It can be like someone sitting on top of the other person and needing an audience member to get them a guitar because they need it for the music video, basically. So there's this vibe of we're doing this together. I was very inspired by this Instagram video of someone being filmed, and then there's this circle of light where you like have this selfie light, and she's standing there with her maybe grandfather kneeling in front of her with a hair dryer, and her hair starts to like blow, and maybe her brother is like throwing glitter, and her mother maybe is like putting different dresses and taking them off of her so that she changed clothes. Maybe the video camera is just looking great in that moment of that particular frame that they choose to film, but then the video that I see is that everything moves around this image to make it work. And I was very inspired by this kind of like meme-like video of how nobody stands alone and we are all connected somehow and we need each other for all kinds of different stages of transformation. And in media, many times trans people are depicted as individual people standing alone, popping up in a group of cis people, or that they don't have this whole community as part of their bodies. And I think it's powerful to also take that power to the stage and be like, no one is alone. And there are some people who are experts in transformation who does it quite well.
Can you say more about this like backstage, front stage thing? How did you play around with it in other ways? Also, I think this thing of being this the performance self and being this very pedestrian everyday self, how did that come across in the performers?
We are talking about it because we didn't have a lot of time to work with an audience, and also I'm a dancer and that's kind of a no-go to work with this, at least my context. It's not something you do. You don't address audiences directly. It's a no-go. It's more like that's trashy. You don't do that. And I really wanted to do that. I wanted to show bodies on stage that people can relate to and that they also are human beings on stage, not something that is like taken down from the universe to enlighten people and then emerge back into the sky. We are here. We are all part of this world. And for me, it's important to work with that body as an equal importance to what we show on stage, that it's also part of what is on stage. It's a difficult area to choreograph, actually, and for people to find their ways into that, the different characters, the different, because it's also performed, but it's performed as themselves. And that's a funny place to tell people what to do. Just be yourself. But not entirely.
I love this thing of like actually asking for help. Just something as simple as, can you hold this for me? Or can you give me a hand?
Yeah.
It's kind of a big thing to do.
In performance art, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
In this kind of area that I'm working in, it's not so integrated in how I'm educated to work. It's funny, but I'm also just, I've been very much thinking about who are the audiences, who am I making this for? Who are we making it for? Who will come and how will it be? And there's a lot of factors that I don't know, but it's also, I want to make performance for specific people. I want them there. They're necessary and needed. And I have to say, I was surprised by the audience, how they were so focused. On Roskilde Festival, it's quite intense to have the most focused audience as I ever had in my life. And I've been performing many places in many different contexts that was much more focused spaces. But this, it was young queers, young random people who just really needed to see this, who has read Haoli Mun, the poetry book. They just came early to sit and wait, because they really wanted to see that. And the producers also said they never experienced that before here. So I think it's a hint that this is needed on stage somehow.
I'm curious about like what impact Haoli Mun had on you reading that.
I read some parts of the book at a friend's place before Luca called me and asked if I wanted to do a performance over this. So I read most of the book after I said yes. But I think it was the first time I read some poetry that is so close to myself that almost I didn't have the distance to it as poetry. It was more like the feeling of being seen and the feeling of just hearing a friend talking. A friend who is very good with words. And also Luca is a friend, so it was also reading the book as some activities that I can also do, that's also part of my universe. I go swim with my friends, I do travel, I am poorly, I share the same kind of ways of functioning in this world, and that was quite beautiful. I'm also visiting CKI sometimes, the gender, what is it called? Big gender institution in Denmark. For me, it's personally also important to tell a different story of the center of gender identity. I think Luca is extremely sharp with words and how the description of asking how they want him to sit. Do you want some water? Drinking the water from these small white plastic cups in this chair, sitting in front of these people who has so much to say about your gender without asking or hearing. That's a bit more brutal relationship to transformation, and the way that Luca is transforming that into a power play to deal with that, for me, is genius. And very similar to my own experience. So I felt very free to transform the book into a performance in my way, because it's so personally close to what I'm experiencing myself that I didn't have to ask or be polite. I really felt very free in that sense, that I would draw on nuances by my own experience.
Okay. So this is the last one.
Yeah.
It's just to ask, actually, what do you see between the teenage-ness and then trans-ness or transformation? Like, how come these things are like, get so close for you?
If I have forgotten my ID and I'm going to the club, I literally have the security to put a light to my eyes so that I can show them that I have wrinkles, because you don't have wrinkles if you're under 18, right? They don't believe that I'm following my similar ages friends into the club. They think they have, a big teenager with them going to the club. And I'm pretty sure it's because I'm trans that they think that I'm 16 years old. And I'm constantly, I don't know, the next person I meet might think that I'm 34, and then the next person think that I'm a woman, and then the next person thinks that I'm a small boy, and there's literally no limits to what I can experience in one day. And I think it's linked to my transness, and people cannot read me. They just take an instant decision that I am a man. And then I am that for them in that moment. And then I meet the next person in this adventure. And then I am a girl. And I'm okay, fine. I'm okay. Wow. Sometimes it takes a lot of energy, but it's also really fun to play with these energies. I mean, even if you are a woman and you're older and you don't use makeup and don't walk in high heels, it might be difficult to read you. People have this experience. Maybe if you are racialized and you have different kinds of expressions, people will not be able to read you. There's so many different ways of going out of the norm that transness is just one of them. There's so many ways where the teenagehood is so relatable, where people maybe also see you as more adult. When I was 17, I could go into every fucking club I wanted to. There was no problem. My 1 year femme phase in my life. And now it's difficult. And I'm a bit older than that. So I think it's linked to transness, but it's not only linked to transness. It's linked to otherness, being read as something that you're not sure about. So for me, it's not about being trans. It's the teenagehood that is relatable, growing out of your limbs and being awkward and, I don't know, keitelhed. Mm-hmm. What is it called?
Awkwardness.
There's certain awkwardness to holding and carrying your body that you don't know exactly completely. And then at the same time, meeting the world with that awkwardness and what to do in that stage, that is actually the stage that is the most stable of them all. The transformation. The teenagehood.
That's beautiful. That's a great ending. Thank you, baby.
This is Lake Radio. We are sending live from Roskilde Festival. And you just heard an interview with choreographer Kai Merke, who was choreographing an performance earlier on this week at Roskilde Festival. If we move a little bit forward in time, later tonight there will be a concert by Gloria Groove, a Brazilian artist who will perform at the Avalon stage at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yes, I am very excited for this concert. It's Gloria Groove is a drag performer, so I think this will be more than a concert. This will be a full-on show, and we've brought a track by Gloria that we would like to play for you now. It's called Nosso Primeiro Beijo ao Vivo. I'm sure I butchered the pronunciation, but the music knows no language.
Eu aposto beijo que você vai gostar do gosto do meu beijo. Já tô vendo ela aí na proteção de tela do seu celular. E você usando a letra G no seu colar. Eu não tô me achando, eu só te achei a cara do pra sempre que eu sempre procurei. Então fala que você também acredita em destino. Fala pro seu passado que seu futuro é comigo. Eu vou sem uma casinha, geladeira cheia, dormir de conchinha depois de umas brincadeiras. Sabe o que é que tá faltando pra ficar perfeito? O nosso primeiro beijo. Perfeito, o nosso primeiro beijo.
aposto um beijo que você vai gostar do gosto do meu beijo. Já tô vendo eu aí na proteção de tela do seu celular e você usando a letra G no seu colar. Eu não tô me achando, eu só te achei a cara do pra sempre que eu sempre procurei. Então fala que você também acredita em destino, fala pro seu passado que seu futuro é comigo. Eu vou sem uma casinha, geladeira cheia, dormir de conchinha depois de umas brincadeiras. Sabe o que é que tá faltando pra ficar perfeito? O nosso primeiro beijo. Aposto um beijo.
Yes, yes, yes. This was Gloria Groove. Everyone be there tonight, 9 o'clock at Avalon. I'm sure it will be fierce.
It sounds like a mandatory concert to experience tonight. Our reporter, Louise, from the league, was walking around on the campsite the other night and tried to record a little walk to see how it sounds when you walk around there. If you have slept out there, you might remember that it's, it can be quite an intense sonic experience.
Yes, I don't think you can be anywhere without hearing at least 5 different sound systems playing different songs at the same time.
And that can be an interesting auditory way to listen. So let's listen to Louise walking a little bit around in the middle of the night in the East Camp.
Yeah, so this was a bit of festival ambience for you. If you are at home, if you are on vacation somewhere, maybe you got a little bit of the festival feeling from this recording made by our reporter, Louise.
And maybe you really feel really lucky that you're not at the festival camp.
You might feel that, yeah. Next up, our next segment is an interview that was made by me, actually. It was Wednesday with the Scottish small pipes phenomenon, Brice Heimbol. She played at Platform and in the evening, and she had a very minimal concert setup. She plays the small pipes solo, and yeah, I met up with her for a chat afterwards about her concerts, and we were talking about her instrument. So let's hear how that went.
Hello, my name is Brice Heimbol. I'm here at Roskilde Festival.
So you just finished your concert at the Platform stage. Could you tell us a bit about the instrument that you were playing?
Yeah, so I play the Scottish small pipes, which is a traditional instrument from Scotland. It's related to the bagpipes, but it's not blown with the mouth, it's blown with the bellows, which is attached to my arm. So it's kind of a more mellow, kind of quieter sound, maybe to what people expect of the bagpipes.
And playing a traditional Scottish instrument, there's obviously a link to traditional Scottish music. Could you say something about how that inspires your playing?
Yeah, so I come from the Highlands of Scotland, and my first language is Gaelic, and this is a big inspiration for me. It's kind of my music is rooted in this. It's a starting point for my compositions. So a lot of my material comes from like old traditional tunes and melodies from Scotland, and yeah, I present that on the pipes, but kind of try to take it or add like my own sound to it, I guess.
Could you name any other kinds of music that inspires you outside of the more traditional music?
I think maybe to describe it, it's like ambient drone music, also like minimalist. I like to hone in on like repeating certain phrases, and kind of the overall atmosphere is more like hypnotic and I guess creating this ambient space that you can sit in and let your body absorb the sound. Yeah, I guess the delay and the electronics kind of act like a secondary musician, because the electronics, they're not like pre-recorded, they're reacting to the live sound. So it can be different every time I play. And that kind of, you know, I can play with that a little bit. And there are a lot of kind of aspects of sound coming out of the one instrument. Like we have the drones, normally two different notes at the same time. Then we have the melody, and then we have obviously like the delay layers over that. So yeah, I try to expand the sound just from the one instrument and try and have it sound like there's more on the stage.
And how do you prepare for a concert like this? I mean, how much of the material that you're presenting is composed or remembered or like improvised? How do you work with structuring such a concert?
There is a structure to the pieces. So, you know, like a beginning, middle and end, but within that, the length of it can change, or like at what point I trigger the electronic. So I guess in a sense there's a little bit of improvisation, but most of the tracks are based on like an old melody, so you always come back to this melody that they're set tunes. Most of them are like hundreds of years old.
So playing at a festival like Roskilde comes with its opportunities, but maybe also its challenges. Is it challenging to perform your kind of music in such a noisy environment as a festival?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, when you go onto the stage, you have a 15-minute line check, but the main stage is playing like behind, so you can't hear anything. So you're going in to perform not knowing what it sounds like. And yeah, there's a kind of a lot of ambient layers to my sound, so it can definitely be a challenge in a noisy situation. But for me, it's like an ongoing project to perfect like the sound setup, because a traditional instrument, to have it set up for, you know, like a modern sound stage, it can be tricky. But yeah, I mean, my sound engineer said it was the most difficult gig he ever did, but I think he did a good job.
So, outside of playing festival gigs this summer, what are you working on currently?
Well, I'm preparing to record another album, which I hope to be released next year. I'd say it's very early stages at the moment. But, you know, every time I perform, you kind of gain a little bit more ideas and knowledge. But yeah, the aim is to like really hone into the, like getting inside the instrument and really just absorbing like all the overtones and you know, that droney sound the instrument has to offer.
Thank you.
Hello, it's Misha Breach-Heimbal, I guess how we geishachri Lake Radio.
Hello, the lake. My name is Esteling Bat, and my fangirl letter goes to PJ Harvey. Because you don't give a fuck about what people want you to be. And that's beauty. Much love.
Yes, PJ Harvey, tonight at 9 o'clock, right?
The orange stage. I think so.
I have this wristband. It's purple wristband that will give me access to the very front area of the concert. And it's not one that I was intentionally going for, but I was seeking shelter from the rain this morning with you, William. And we met this guy who was handing out these bracelets.
Sometimes you're just lucky.
Sometimes in life.
You are listening to The Lake, and you just heard an interview with Breacher Chamble, who played early on the festival. And after that, you heard a little fan letter from Astrid Ingberg, who also played at the Gaia stage early on the festival and made a little shout-out to PJ Harvey. Later today, quite late tonight, actually after midnight.
There 20 minutes past midnight.
So that means after I'm going to bed, maybe. There will be a performance here at the platform stage by an artist called Tjerta Balash. And it's a Norwegian Kosovo-Albanian dance choreographer. And the performance is called Rosalha. If you might be interested in going to a performance tonight, I can tell you that the next 10-15 minutes we will be playing an interview with Tjerta Balash about this performance and about their work, which was made by Torbjørn here, our reporter at the Lake Radio. So stay tuned and let's hear what Tjerta Balash has to say.
I'm here with Tjerta Balash, who's performing tonight at Platform Stage, Wednesday, past midnight. Tjerta, would you like to introduce your performance a little bit for us?
So it's a performance I made, I think it's maybe...